This past summer, our worship focused on origin stories, and several of you shared your stories with us. This was a rich time for our community, and we had the chance to glean some of the wisdom that you've discovered over the years. As is often the case, a shared experience in our community sparked other ideas for our worship and our life together. And one of those I can trace back to the conversation that I got to have with our Deacon of the Week, Jess Lind. She told me the beautiful story about how she fell in love with poetry. She stole one of her roommate's books, which she still proudly has in her possession, called Love Poems from God. If she was going to pick a book to steal, she picked a good one. It's a collection of poems written by the mystics like Meister Eckhart, Rumi, St. Francis, Hafiz, and St. Teresa of Avila. These mystics write about the profoundly intimate relationship they share with God, with the God of the universe. I tracked down my own copy of the book, and it's been part of my daily bread ever since. As Pastor Maria and the children talked a little earlier, we tend to be a lot more comfortable talking about God's power and might than we are talking about God as a vulnerable lover, as one who sings love songs to us, as one who loses, who suffers, who gets her heart broken, who finds love all over again. We realized this was a place that we wanted, even needed, to linger together. And what better text for this journey than the Song of Songs? Except, if we're honest about the Song of Songs, it makes us nervous, uncomfortable, and leaves us twitching in our seats. I mean, it's a book of erotic love poems, after all. Stephanie Paulsell wrote a beautiful commentary on the song, which she begins this way. The Song of Songs is a book like no other in the Bible. For centuries, readers approached it with the quality of hope and expectations that may be difficult for us to imagine. The song inspired volumes of commentary, midrashic interpretations, paraphrases, and homilies among ancient and medieval Jewish and Christian readers. Indeed, medieval Christians commented more frequently on the Song of Songs than any other book of the Bible. By contrast, modern readers often regard the song as an oddity, useful only as a quarry for wedding liturgies. But for devoted readers over the centuries, the song was a key hidden at the heart of the Bible, capable of unlocking the Bible's central message of God's love for human beings. It was a fathomless pool of meaning one could swim in one's whole life long and never sound the bottom. It was a garden in which one might encounter walking in the cool of the day. For these readers, the Song of Songs was a devotional text, surpassing all others, a text to be excavated through midrash and allegory, lingered over in Lectio Divina, prayed with individually and communally. In other words, there's a lot here for us to glean if we're willing to linger for a while. So I invite you to journey with me this morning into the song, into this enfleshed, intimate, erotic poem where we might experience love of one another, love of God, divine love for us in our bodies, our flesh, the whole of our beings. Over and over this year, we keep revisiting what it means to be enfleshed human beings. Pastor Elijah broke down the problem for us back in January as he shared the wisdom of Kelly Brown Douglas and how Christianity embraced a Platonized understanding of the world that separated bodies and souls, setting up a war between the two. Bodies were bad, souls were good. And this opened up the door for all kinds of violence and destruction of human bodies. During our Lenten Lies series, we continued our work to debunk the lie that bodies are bad. We looked at the incarnation of God becoming flesh and dwelling with us. The Song of Songs calls us further. The song asks us to pray, to play, to dance, to celebrate beauty, desire, and longing in these body clothes, in our very flesh. For how else are we to experience the world? Paulsel writes again, Christian faith bears within it a treasure, sometimes hard to see, but nevertheless there, the conviction that the body is sacred, that it is holy, that is productive of its own kind of knowledge of God, that it is worthy of blessing and care. Embodiment is one thing that we all share. So journey with me into the song. Let's wander and linger there a while. The poet sings, My beloved is to me a bag of myrrh that lies between my breasts. The beloved is to me a cluster of henna blossoms in the vineyards of En-Gedi. Ah, you are beautiful, my love. Ah, you are beautiful. Your eyes are doves. Ah, you are beautiful, my beloved. Truly lovely. Our couch is green. The beams of our house are cedar. Our rafters are pine. And on the poet goes. When we open our ears to the song, the music is filled with creation, with blossoms and vineyards, with doves and cedars, and with lilies and apple trees. The erotic is filled with ordinary things, and yet the ordinary is so full of delight that the words dance off the page. If we pause for a moment, it's no wonder, really, that creation is the metaphor the poet reaches for to describe eros. As we encounter creation in our bodies, we sense the air filling our lungs, the sunlight caressing our skin, water washing over the flesh as we dive in. To live in our flesh, in our body clothes, is to experience the wonder of eros, the wonder of intimacy, the wonder of God. We're invited to dance, to play, as if life and love depended on it, because it does. Scholars have debated over the centuries whether Song of Songs is about human love for a partner or about love for God. But resolving this question isn't the point. The song is poetry. It is filled with metaphor. And the purpose of this kind of imagery and language is to bring ideas together that weren't otherwise connected. It is sharing love with one another and sharing love with God. A scholar writes, a truly incarnational theology considers human love as both a value in itself and a sign and symbol of divine love, and claims that we love God precisely in the act of loving others. God is not found beyond human endeavor, but at the very heart of it. We've heard the words of the song as human love for one another this morning, but listen now to the mystic, St. Teresa of Avila, who repeatedly turned to the songs as a devotional text. In her own version of the song, she wrote, God desired me, so I came close. No one can near God unless she has prepared a bed for you. A thousand souls hear his call every second, but most everyone then looks into their life's mirror and says, I am not worthy to leave this sadness. When I first heard his courting song, I too looked at all I had done in my life and said, how can I gaze into his omnipresent eyes? I spoke these words with all my heart, but then he sang again a song even sweeter. And when I tried to shame myself once more from his presence, God showed me his compassion and spoke a divine truth. I made you, beloved, and all I make is perfect. Please come close, for I desire you. Don't know about you, but the line that grabbed me was, and when I tried to shame myself once more from her presence, God showed me her compassion and spoke a divine truth. That line feels particularly close to home. I'm guessing that we're not the only ones in the room who love the show Queer Eye. I'd also be willing to place the bets that we're not the only ones who've already finished the new season in Japan. It may or may not come as a surprise to you that Tan is my favorite. He's the one that helps with clothing and fashion, but it's so much more than that. Again and again, the person he's with is using clothing to hide, to disappear, to veil their bodies. They, like us, carry so much shame regarding their bodies. While Tan does find clothing and style that suits the person, more than that, he invites the person to inhabit their body, to see their beauty. I don't think it would be stretching it too much to say that he helps people hear the love poem from God. I made you, beloved, and all I make is perfect. Please come close, for I desire you. Before we rush past the Song of Songs and this glorious evocative language this morning, will you take a few deep breaths with me? Feel free to settle into your seats and close your eyes if you like. Just let yourself breathe. Feel the air filling your lungs as you breathe in and out. And as you keep breathing, feel the air reaching out into your arms all the way to your fingertips. Feel the air flowing down through your legs to the very ends of your toes. Feel the air reaching up to the top of your head, spreading out across your scalp. Now, as you breathe, know that God's love for you is as close as your breathing. As the air traveling to every crack and crevice, every last edge and cell of your body, breathe and let it sink in for just a moment. whenever you're ready, you can turn your attention again towards your breath and your presence in this space together. Shared silence where we might encounter the presence of God is a holy and beautiful thing. If we can experience God in this way, if we know ourselves loved, if we know the divine love for the whole of creation, we can't help but be transformed. Our hearts are opened, our eyes are softened, and we know firsthand the union of all things. And we start to see how the love that God has for us is so vast and all-encompassing that it extends to all 7.7 billion of us. So hear the words calling out for you this morning. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away, for the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone.